World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. We got a little bit of snow last night. They were telling us about this snowmageddon that's coming. Folks, we live in Ohio. It snows, right? It snows. And yet the same thing always happens when a snowstorm's coming. Everybody runs to Kroger's and gets all the food and stores up everything and then wonders if school's going to be canceled the next day. This is actually the first snow that we've had. And I went outside this morning to check. We might have got 3 inches, maybe three. Now, three inches can kind of mess you up, no doubt about it, but it ain't snowmageddon, right? It just isn't. And when we went to bed last night, we're having a little bit of sleety, a little bit of icy stuff falling. It's January 17th, and we really haven't even had any semblance of winter today. So we got a little, this year, got a little blast of it here today. Hey, Spencer, pull up. The Holy Spirit prompted me think on these things. They're down near the bottom. Let's get that ready to go. Had a great weekend. I want to tip my cap to Mike and Bonnie Blake. Had about, I don't know, didn't really take the time to count, about 20 of us, I think, over at Mike's house on Saturday afternoon. And Joe came by and come on, brain. I see his face. Help me out.
Healy,
thank you. Joe Healy came by to get a great teaching on local politics how you get involved in the Republican Central Committee or Democrats is pretty enlightening. In fact, probably went longer than we thought it was going to go, but had some great fellowship, which brings me into another topic I want to talk about today. I hate weekends because I just store up these pieces of meat that I want to throw on the table and get a chance to. Hey, Bridie on TV today. Mondays I'm on Bridie on, and Dr. Paul Goslin's going to be on with me today, and we're going to expose Dr. Paul to the world. And it's really quite interesting because there's another doctor up in Maine who's also been brought before the board to figure out whether she is crazy or not. That's what they did to Sherry Tenpenny, and they've done it to Dr. Goslin, and told Dr. Goslin they found out that his diagnosis was he's religious. Isn't that what they told you, Paul? You were religious. Heaven forbid you would be a doctor and religious. And suspended his license, so he'll get exposed to a broader audience today. Paul, you got your hand up. Go ahead and come on in.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Hearst is how the board has done this. It's kind of like Russia when they discredit you for mental illness and they put you in a mental hospital. That's been going on for years, and this is a woman who's got a great name. She's well liked. What better way to do it than announce? Somebody had to go in there and tape her words. This is what the board does. Last time I was in front of the board, I told them, and I told all these young kids right out of med school, because that's who they put on the boards now, these kids that are brainwashed. And I looked at every one of them, and I said, don't you find what you do meaningful? Okay. Then I looked to the chairman of the board, and I said to him, why is it that you hate me? I don't hate you. He looked at me straight on. He said, he didn't say it wasn't us, but he said it was government overreach. And how I know this is I tape recorded these people. Okay. And everybody that deals with the public or officials, authorities, I suggest you tape record them if your state allows it, because this is how this is how we have to be, do they call us, snakes?
Yeah, anyway. We got it. Wise as a serpent is what it says, right? Wise as a serpent. And Paul, all of my scripture experience, that's one of the scriptures that really always tripped me up the most. when Jesus himself said to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And that never made sense to me. Two things about that never made sense. I never saw a serpent as being wise, but evidently it was. And wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. In other words, I mean, maybe we could throw this, I'm not going to throw it open to talk about it, but is the Lord in that point telling us, study your enemy. In the ways of the world, your enemy is a master at navigating the world. He's of this world. We're not of this world. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Because
Paul, that got us in. I don't mean Paul. Good, Vinny.
I was just saying, that goes without saying. A serpent has no legs but can get from place to place. That's amazing. So that's pretty wise, if that meant.
That's pretty wise. He knows how the world operates. And he's, in fact, Jesus also told us, I think it was Jesus, that the children of the world are wiser than the children of God. Does anybody know where that is? Some biblical scholar, like anybody out there, where it says that the children of the world are wiser than the children of God. That's kind of a paraphrase. But that's what it says, right?
I don't know where it is. That's the unjust steward that made deals with all the creditors of his boss.
Yeah. So, see, we want to remove ourselves from the world while trying to operate in the world. And then this one, I'm not going to go on this one now, but this is just another one to throw on the table and think about. Is it always wrong to lie? Is it always wrong to lie?
I don't know.
Now, we know the fifth commandment, right? The fifth commandment says, thou shalt not lie. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. No, it doesn't. Exodus 20, pull that up there. Exodus 12. Pull it up there real quick, Spence. This is a whole different, but I'm on this horse. I'm going to ride in a minute, right? Exodus 12, go down to 20. It's the 10 commandments. Is it Exodus 20, 12? Do I have that backwards?
That other one was Luke 16:8, coach.
Well, thank you. Hang on, Dale. So it's Exodus 20. Isn't that where the 10 commandments are? Exodus 20, I think it is, verse 12. I got it backwards, Spence. Exodus 20. Folks, this is one of the greatest, most, in my opinion, again, one of the most misquoted verses in the entire Bible is, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You can search high and low and you will not find thou shalt not lie. You won't find that anywhere. So if they're coming, if the police are coming to whatever, the black limos pull into my driveway and they say, is that it? And they've cleaned out everything they have. And they say, is that everything? We've got everything. And I know that there's something buried out in the backyard. There isn't. But if there's something buried out in the backyard and they say, is that everything? Is it a sin to say, yep, that's everything? Is it? Now, is it a sin if they break into my house? Five guys break into my house with a knife in their teeth, between their teeth. And they're saying, are you the only one here? And my wife's in the other room. Should I say, oh, no, my wife's in here. Shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Folks, this is critical. All of the Ten Commandments are protective. Every one of them. Protect someone. So when it says that you're not to bear false witness against your neighbor, it's protective. You're not supposed to be telling lies about your neighbors. Gossip, false witness, yada, yada, yada. Nowhere does it say thou shall not lie. Now, you're not supposed to lie if you're lying to win at a business deal or get an advantage on somebody. No, you're not allowed to do that. Because why? It's against your neighbor. You're supposed to be honest with your neighbor. But the idea that a Christian should never lie, that's what made me a great football coach. I was always lying on the football field. They thought I was going to run off tackle and I was bootlegging.
Yeah.
It's deception. Made me good. Made me good at what I do. Because what do we see right now during football games? People get mad, say, run that other play because the same guy's doing the same thing over and over and over. Let's lie. Okay, I'm not going to get into it. But it's a pretty good thought, isn't it, friends? And Dale, you said, where did you say about the children of this world being wiser?
It's Luke chapter 16, verse 8. And coach, you know, the midwives lied, Abraham lied, The thing is, brother, we don't lie to cover sin, right?
And we don't lie to take advantage on another. Right. But we do lie to protect our family. I will, folks, I will lie to protect my wife.
Abraham, the father, what we call of faith, what did he do? He lied about his wife's, who she was to Pharaoh, right?
Yes, that's right. Remember this. It's the spirit of the law. Remember this. The Bible says that it's the letter of the law that kills. It's the spirit of the law that brings life. Oh, my goodness, Lord, if we could ever get those two things down, we could ever understand it. And the reason we lose in a cultural war is because we're always being honest. We're always, I cannot lie. I cannot lie, right? I can't. All right, so where is it? Where is it? 16:8. And the Lord commended, then said he to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, why? About 100 bucks. The guy said, well, take your bill and write down 400 or 80 or down 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The last thing God says in the Bible is all liars will be cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. It's the last thing he says in Revelation. He says it, then the angel repeats it.
So you're saying it's always a lie's always wrong?
Well, you need to repent of lying. That's how I interpret it. Everybody's lied except God, but you know, it's whether we repent of it or not before it's too late.
So in other words, I'm just asking now. I need to say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to lie to protect my wife.
Don't bring it up to me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, please.
Well, you brought it to me, so I want everybody listening to think this thing through. Lord, please forgive me. I'm about to sin because I'm going to lie to these thieves about my wife. Please forgive me. Is that what I'm supposed to do? No, I think a liar is someone who continues to tell falsehoods for personal gain. That's what I think a liar is.
To take advantage of others, right.
That's what I think a liar is. I will lie every day for my wife. Every day I will lie to protect my wife. In fact, I did it. You guys ever tell your wife, honey, you look pretty, and she doesn't? Just kidding. Got to keep piecing that home, don't you? I don't know how I got on this, but it's good, right?
he's not talking about Michelle, of course, guys.
What about during World War II when all those people were hiding the Jews and they were lying? Yep,
They had to repent, right?
And let them get killed.
So remember, a lie is for personal gain or the destruction of another. That's what I think. That's the way I live my life. If the Lord has to straighten me out when I get on the other side, I'll let him do that. Happy birthday to Polly Heath. And I don't know how old she is. Happy birthday to her, Polly. I'm moving somewhere today. Can I do that with you? Okay, go ahead, Bernie. Go ahead, Bernie, then Paul, then Myra. Since I opened that can of worms, I'll let you.
Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Bernie, by the way, folks, I got to get we got to post the. I hadn't seen that, Bernie, that video you sent me of your son. That was powerful. That was a powerful video.
Well, you were just saying that where are the people going to use Jesus Christ when they're talking about him? But the situations where you're seeing lying is people that are saving other people's lives. I mean, that's where you're coming up. And if you tell your wife she looks pretty, of course she looks pretty. You just didn't say she looks pretty good or pretty bad. That's
That's stretching the truth, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. Thanks.
Think how many times you lie to your children. You're talking about Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. You say, oh, great job. And it wasn't a great job. Come on, man. The letter of the law kills. The spirit of the law brings life. Go ahead, Doc and Myra.
You bring up a great point. And if the Lord knows what's in your heart, lying ain't a bad thing. And he'll know it. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at Trump and I say, he might be lying, but he's lying for the right reasons. And who can't forgive him? I just hope that's true.
You know? I, well, I'm with you, man. Listen, to me, you're bearing false witness. In other words, using the lie to get an advantage over somebody. I think that's wrong. I always think. But it's never wrong to lie to protect. Now, we'll lose half of the people in our queue because they're so brain dead, they can't think outside that box, that religious box they're in. Go ahead and stick your head in there if you want to. I want the law that brings life. That's what I want. I don't want the law that brings death. Myra.
Amen. Good morning, Saints. Always good to see you. In regard to what comes out of our mouths, King James Bible, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And that will be James 1:5. Thank you.
Amen.
Bless you.
Bless you, Myra. Michelle and then Larry. I'm going somewhere, believe it or not. Michelle, did you just take your hand down? Sorry, Larry.
Yeah, David, in part of his escapades, he went out and he whipped up all over the people giving the Jews problems. And then he'd go to Ziklag and tell Ziklag, which is one of the heathen kings or whatever, but he'd say, man, I've been out there whipping the Jews. I've been out there fighting for you, Ziklag. David lied all over the place. And God kind of considered that a pretty good strategy.
Well, again, the letter of the law brings death. The spirit of the law brings life. That's really what we're talking about. And if you're lying to get an advantage or to steal from your brother or your neighbor, it isn't good. It's never good. If you tell an untruth to protect someone, I'm going to get in that line. Just telling you right now, I'm getting in that line because I believe our job is to protect those whom we can protect. Amen. Rochelle, you had your hand up and then it went down.
So, can you hear me, Coach?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning, team. My feed cut out, so I don't know if you guys touched on this, so stop me if you did. But regarding the story of Abraham and lying about his wife, remember, yes, the Lord used that to show Pharaoh and
hang
the power of God.
Amen.
I remember reading some extra biblical texts explaining that I think everybody was unable to have relations with their wives while Pharaoh had Abraham's wife.
Here's what I'm going to say this again. Before everybody runs out of here and says, Coach Dave says it's okay to lie, that is not what I said. It is not okay to bear false witness against your neighbor, ever. Ever. Okay to bear false witness against your neighbor, ever. But you ponder the rest of it. Go ahead, Ohio Brett.
Hey, good morning, Coach.
Well, hey, you're up early.
Lake of the fire for all who bear false witness against a virus that 99% of the people survive.
Amen. How about that one? How about, yeah, lake of fire for all those lying about that virus. That's a good one. Pastor standing in the pulpit. Is it okay to lie if you're ignorant? Does somebody say ignorance of the law is no excuse? Is it okay for a pastor to get in the pulpit and lie about the vaccine? No, not lie about it, but tell an untruth. Tell something about the virus that's not true simply because he doesn't know. Is ignorance of the law okay? Well, that's a good question. Jeff Nell, come on in.
Yeah, I guess referring to the extreme, to manipulate. We like what Exodus chapter 1 about the midwives. They fear the Lord, so they disobeyed the king. And then you go to Mordecai and Esther. Esther had to manipulate the king because the plot was to kill the Hebrews in their city there. So there is a catch.
How about this catch? The Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Your right to remain silent. Why do you have a right to remain silent? So you're not forced to lie to protect yourself.
Boom.
Right? So you have a right to remain silent, so you're not forced to lie in order to protect yourself. You just say, I refuse to answer that question. I know this isn't your Presbyterian tradition. Let's try to get us all to think here. Rochelle, you're still up, and then Dr. Paul, then I'm going to start putting some icing on the cake here. Go ahead.
I'm good, Coach. My things aren't working.
All right, sweetie. Dr. Paul?
food for thought. A lot of these doctors working in hospitals watching what they're watching. Believe me, they know what's going on. They're
dishonest. They're lying, aren't they, Paul?
They're lying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They all have free will. I don't believe that this is just pure ignorance or they don't know. At some level, every one of them saying to themselves, I can't buck the system. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to be targeted by the same people that are going after Dr. Nash.
Right. Self-preservation.
Believe me, that's free will. God gives us free will. That's why I say lying to yourself is part of this big
It is. It's funny. That's where I'm going, because Mark Trump sent me a fascinating email this morning that I didn't get a chance to read it enough. It's all going to tie in here. Hang on there with me a second. I got two things I want to talk about here this morning. Mark sent me something on cognitive bias. And Mark, I didn't get a chance to read it all this morning, but it fascinated me. Cognitive, for lack of a better term, the word cognitive means the ability to think and reason, okay? To think and reason. And we all have cognitive biases. In other words, we have certain thought patterns that we use that we cannot shake ourselves out of them. A lot of times we would call them what? Prejudices. Or I don't even know what the other, a lot of words that you could use there, right? And so what are some of the cognitive biases that we're fighting against right now? Hang on. In the church. The cognitive biases, or as Mark had told me once before, first truths, things in the church that we've been taught and we can't get out of that. We can't get out of that. Do you ever feel guilty about not going to church? Why do you feel guilty about not going to church? Why would that be? Who made you feel guilty? Let me ask you something. Folks, listen. I like to start at a premise and then I'd like to dig deep on it. And so as I dig deep on it, I'm asking you questions that I have asked myself and I'm working through. So just like I was saying, is it ever okay to lie? I don't know. I'm asking the question and I'm not trying to convince you that it's okay to lie. I don't know. But yet I see sometimes where it would be appropriate to lie. They would lie. If the FBI comes in here looking for my wife, I will hide her in the woods. I will hide her in the woods. I'm telling the FBI that right now. And that flies in the face of, what do we call it? The cognitive bias that we have about telling lies. It flies in the face of it. And then we see Jesus said, you guys are stupid. You're not even as smart as the people in the world. How do my people get so stupid? Because it comes back to the spirit of the law or the letter of the law. And the spirit of the law kills. I'm sorry, the letter of the law kills and the spirit of the law brings life. So I was watching yesterday. My wife and I didn't. Yesterday afternoon, I don't know what time it was. We were looking for dog. Anybody notice you can't find cat food? Is anybody noticing that beside me? There's an unbelievable shortage of cat food in America. Like, I don't care where you go. Okay, go out today and check. You don't believe me? You go to Walmart, you go wherever you want to, and you go down the cat food chart, and you look at what's going on. And I'm wondering, is that food all made in China? Is there a food chain, something going on here with the food chain regarding cat food? We have a cat, Opie. We spent all day yesterday trying to find Opie's food. Opie's food, well, yeah. But here's the problem. If I don't get Opie's food, he wakes me up in the freaking middle of the night, comes and bites on my ear. So he tortures me. So I got to find Opie's food, okay? So there isn't any food. Okay, where was I? Oh, I know where it is. I was sitting in my car while Michelle went into another store to see if they had Opie's food. And I was watching on my phone some church services. I watched about three different ones, parts of three different ones. I watched this guy for a while, and then I'd watch this guy for a while, and then I'd watch this guy for a while. And I came to this. I don't know if I asked myself this or if the Holy Spirit asked myself this. What's the purpose of church? I just opened the door. What's the purpose of church? And why is it in every church service you go, careful, don't always paint with a broad brush, not every church service. But why is it in church services that you go to, you could write the schedule of events before you ever walked in? In fact, you could write the schedule of events in a Methodist church, and you could take that schedule of events and you could go to the Baptist church, and you could go to the Baptist church and you could walk into the Methodist and take the same schedule of events, schedule of the service, and they would be, for the most part, almost exactly the same. Can somebody explain that to me? Why is that? Where did all the churches figure out this is how you do church when you get together? I'm going to open the door. Because I listened to three sermons yesterday, parts of three sermons yesterday. And I said to my wife, when she came out, I said, boy, there can't be a more cynical guy in the world than me. God, I'm cynical. Because I listened to three different sermons. Friends, I'm telling you, had nothing to do with what was going on in America. Had nothing to do with it. Personal stuff, how to be happy in this, and how to get over grief in this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm 70 years old, and I have to have some 40-year-old pastor stand in the pulpit and tell me how to handle grief? Really? And what if I'm sitting in that church and I'm not dealing with grief? Do I have to sit there for listen to that guy going for 45 minutes, talking to me about handle grief? I ain't even there. Now I may be there at some point. Where do we get to the point where we have topographical teaching that everybody has to come in and hear the same sermon no matter where you are in your walk? Somebody, it's open. Come on in, Joe. Where'd that come from, Joe?
Why do we have schools? Why do we have a government where a state can take care of our business? We don't need government.
Why do we?
Why do we need a church? All you have to do is pick up a Bible and read it.
So Joe asked, what's the purpose of the church then? Because you can go through all the scriptures. I was doing them this morning. All the reasons why we would gather together. All of them. I got a good thing I'll pull up here in a second. Why? What's the purpose of the church? And that's so I've had people say to me, Coach, you need to start a church. I think, just what we need. Just one more of those things. Need one more of those. People come in, let's do an opening prayer. Then let's do 10 minutes of praise and worship. And then let's do a little thing for the children. And then let's do an offering. And then let's have the pastor give us a sermon. And then let's go home. Coach, I don't care where you go. That's it. Some extension of that. How did it become that way? Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. You know, Mark Trump talks about first truths. I think that the seminaries, the medical schools, they've all been taken over. And if you can control the root of that tree, then, you know, everything that's taught from there, it's the reason why they go after our children and what they're learning in school. You know, if you can control that first information, you know, and I'm looking at you and Dr. Paul on my screen, and I'm like, you know, kind of representing the church and medicine. I just think that it's been controlled and people don't even know it. So that's
Mel, it's the same thing, though. That's what Dr. Paul's saying, right? Same things happen in medicine. Medicine is just another big denomination. That's all it is. It's just another big church service where they teach everybody you have to do this and do this. And by the way, Paul, if you don't do this, you get excommunicated. We'll throw you out here because you're not right part of the church. Oh, and you came in here and you got tennis shoes on. You don't have a hat on. Or you have to wear a tie here. You got to wear a hat here. You have to cover your head here, right? How did all this stuff happen to us? How do we get here? Go on, Gary.
Yes, it all comes down to the man Lois thinks that he knows how to do things better than God, and he creates his own traditions. And this is the same thing here. Church has become yet another tradition of men.
Teaching of commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Julie, come on in. Good to see you on Saturday there, Julie.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks, Coach. You're so right about the doctrines and like pinpoint it. I mean, it was yesterday, it was like, I can't five songs, and like I knew, I'm like, this right now, our church is teaching on heaven and hell, and that, you know, raptured, and all the songs that were like, and it made me really sick. It really did. I'm like, I'm not teaching about what to do now. Why? I mean, it's just a big deception.
So Julie, I was watching a sermon, one of the three sermons I watched yesterday. I'm not making this care. It was on a talk on God will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I'm watching about 5 minutes of this, and I'm thinking, really? Really? You have to preach that to the people who are lifelong Christians? You have to preach that to them?
Right.
What? That God will never leave you? By the way, this guy didn't even say that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. That the Holy Spirit indwells us, not Jesus. Jesus isn't inside of us. Yes, he is, because we don't understand how the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's expedient I go away, because if I go away, he was with you, he's going to be in you. So Jesus isn't literally, Jesus, are you with me? The Holy yeah. Spirit's with us. The Holy Spirit's in us. It isn't Jesus. Although it is Jesus. That guy didn't even use the Holy Spirit. Didn't even mention the Holy Spirit. To a room full of people who go to church there every week, he's telling them something they should have learned in kindergarten church. I thought, what is going on here? What's going on? Kim, come on in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I think we're partly to blame. It's not just the pastors.
I do too.
Habit. And we learned this. We have groups most weeks. We have three home groups, and we read scripture, and we're all expected to bring something. But interestingly enough, in my son's group, a couple of weeks ago, they got new furniture and they changed everything around. And some of the people came in and looked and said, "Where's my chair? Where's my?" And so we do that. We get into patterns. We can even do it in a home group where everything is different. And you know, we have to break free and just let the Spirit lead us and stop desiring to be in a habitual thing.
Yep, I think so. I think a lot of it has to do with control. That's what I think. It's easy. The pastor, me, the minister, I feel good if I have a game plan, and so we all just kind of adopt the same game plan. This is how church works, right? And then I turned on another one. Oh my goodness. Can I just be honest with y'all here a second? I'll probably make some enemies here. I turned on another one, and they were running, and they were doing praise and worship and running around in the church, waving flags and dancing and hey, look, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what I think? Bible says that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Waving a flag in the church isn't sacrifice. You know what's sacrifice? Is going out on the streets and talking to people and handing out tracts and leading people to Christ and standing on the street corner. That's the sacrifice the Lord would like us to have, not waving flags in churches. I'm just watching churches in my car on my phone. I'm thinking, what the hell's that? What the hell's that? Right? Oh, man, a lot of you want to get in there. I'm just going to start, go down. Tell us a story, not your life story. Go, Paul. Still muted. You're still muted.
Dr. Paul or Paul?
But you, go.
Sorry, brother. So, Brennan, I guess he worked with Trump. And I'm sorry if I'm a little bit skewed on politics. I really don't watch it. But he started to institute this nationwide thing where people would go into schools and take over the positions of the school board, okay? It's a 40 or 50-year trek it took to brainwash our children. You don't mm-hmm. think they're doing that in law schools? You don't think doing that in medical schools?
Yes, sir.
I mean, when I looked at these young kids around this round table and they're looking at me and they're judging me, and all I do is just tell them where my heart is, and I said, don't you find what you do meaningful? I mean, I don't know. I trust Brennan. I don't know why, but I'll tell you something. You hit on a keynote today, and it's unbelievable how things open up in this forum. This Amen. Is church to me, what you guys
right, me too right me too
this is my it's church.
So folks, we're fighting cognitive bias. In other words, cognitive, your ability to reason is already clouded by tradition or whoever's been schooling you, whatever. I see it in my children. I see it all everywhere that I look. They already have a bias about what I'm going to say before I even say it. Oh, Dad, Anybody else experiencing that? It's a cognitive bias. And the church has created a cognitive bias, folks. We can't even look outside. We can't even look out the guardrails of religion. If you look out, if you step outside the guardrails, if you happen to go in the gutter like a gutter ball in Christianity, dude, they want to throw you out. You're not allowed to think. You're not allowed to think. This is how we do it. This is our tradition. This is the way we do it. And if you don't like it, well, you maybe need to find another fellowship that you can be. You might picking up what I'm laying down. Come on in, Tom. Tom Stout.
I think that church was originally for the fellowship. I mean, to discuss the word of God and what it means to me and what it means to you and what it means to that guy over there. It's not for sitting and listening like we all became used to. I really enjoy the church I go to now because we don't have a preacher, but we do have discussion. We bring up the scripture and we talk about it.
Yeah, wow. Wow. You mean you didn't just 45 minutes of some guy talking to you? Really? Come on in, Debbie.
Good morning. Well, one of my best friends is a worship leader, and there is actually a template. And it's to keep, you don't have to think. I mean, that's the whole bottom line.
That's right.
But you have a template, the pastor gives you the topic, and you fill in the blanks. And it's the same thing as the doctors. It's a protocol. The doctors have a protocol. You have pneumonia, turn to page pneumonia, here's what you do.
Amen. You know why it is though, Debbie? Because we love order and tradition, don't we? We love it. We feel comfortable.
You don't even have to think. That's the thing. Right. You don't have to have discernment. You don't have to think. You don't have to look at what's before you. You just follow the protocol or template.
Is there anybody in this queue that would raise their hand right now? You don't have to. And say, you know what, Coach? I never, ever prayed publicly till I started watching this. You've kind of forced me out of my comfort zone. You don't have to raise your hand. I can't believe the number of men that I come in contact with. If you would ask them to pray publicly, they wouldn't know how to do it. They wouldn't know how to do it. It's the truth. Beth, come on. Beth Depot Jackson. Have to unmute yourself. Kevin, come on in while she figures out. Hey, folks, sometimes they have a delay. Sometimes there's a delay when they're listening, so maybe it's 10 seconds, 20 seconds, so just bear with us on that. But I know Kevin doesn't have a delay. Come on in, Kevin.
Hey, Coach, sermons like that are pablum. It's nothing but baby food.
That's right.
That's why the church is emaciated in this country. They don't get up and come in and eat meat like we do here every morning. That's right.
It's laziness. Folks, do you know that? I'm not patting myself on the back. You have any idea how much time and effort I put in to, before I come down those steps? You have any idea how much study I've done? Not a lot. Hour and 15 minutes. I just don't come down those steps and just say, well, let's throw this piece of meat. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will change it, but I'm structured because I've studied. I get a point and I try to go to it. And you know what the great idea is? You don't have to agree with me. But isn't it okay if we talk about it? Isn't it okay if we bring it up? Isn't it okay if you, what? When's the last time at your church that you just went and had an Ask a Pastor Sunday? When do they ever let you do that? Well, they don't let you do that because why? Pastor wants to make sure he's prepared. He doesn't want to be caught off guard. He doesn't want to look like he doesn't know the answer, right? And so, therefore, everything is structured like a classroom. Did I raise your hands? Maybe we'll call on you. Maybe we won't. Or I'll talk to you after class. We're not going to talk about that now. And you know, here's something else I've learned about coaching, from coaching, is if one person has the question, somebody else does too. If one guy doesn't understand that blocking assignment, there's somebody else that doesn't understand it either. It's stupid for us to get in front of and talk to everybody like they're at the same position, same spot mentally. What's it called, Mark? It's called cognitive bias. The pastor has a cognitive bias. He assumes you know what he knows. And if you don't agree with it, he ain't going to bring it up. He doesn't want any. They call that disunity. Disunity? Dude, you're telling me something that's not true. You want all of us to believe that lie? I ain't going to believe that lie. I want to ask you a question. Pardon me. By the way, when I left a church like that one day. I did. That's before I was really, really, that's 20 some years ago. I walked out right in the middle of it. I'd had enough of that guy up there telling me stuff that there's no way he had any, no way he had any perspective on that. No way he did. He's up there. Oh, anyway, Beth, did you want to come in? If not, we'll go to Mr. Zero Craig. Beth?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Okay. My phone wasn't responding.
That's all right, dear. That's all right.
I was trying to unmute. But no, I just, as far as the attending church, you know, you hear not forsaking the assembly in Hebrews 10:25, but it doesn't mean you have to do it in a church because where two or three are gathered. Right. You have church. If you're discussing Jesus, you're discussing the Holy Spirit, you're going over scripture, that mm-hmm. is church. You don't have to do it in a building. And I know for me, for one, I moved to a new area. I'm looking for a church. You know, just I would like to find like-minded, but I want a church that's going to teach relevant scriptures that are going to teach about today. There are some good pastors that I watch on YouTube. Unfortunately, they're definitely not local. But if I could find a church like that, that'd be great. But I can't. But I want to talk to that pastor.
Beth, is that? But listen, mm-hmm. Beth. It's important for us, see, because we're looking, for some reason, we're looking for that church structure. And the question I'm asking today, is that what we ought to be looking for? Is the way we do church, is that really the way that it's supposed to be done? Well, why would I want to look for one that just does it better? They just do it better. Your music's a lot better. And they just do it better. Is that really what, can you imagine?
I would love to meet at home. I would love to have go and switch houses every week and go to this person's house and have a great church. And it doesn't have to be on Sunday. It doesn't have to be on Saturday or Wednesday, whenever you get together every week.
And it doesn't have to be a big crowd. Can you guys imagine having a family reunion and everybody comes over to your house for Thanksgiving and they all get in there sitting around the table and you stand up and you talk to them for 45 minutes. Nobody gets to ask anything. You just stand in. You talk to everybody for 45 minutes. And half of them are saying, God, I wish he'd shut up. Doesn't he think anybody else has an opinion here? To me, that's church. That's what's going on in church. I don't grow somewhat by listening to another man, but I grow by working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I grow by questioning. And what did I put down there? What's the purpose of church? That's still the question. What's the purpose of that? Getting up Saturday morning and Sunday morning or whatever morning and going up. What's the By the way, Catholics do it. It's an hour in, hour out. And now I'm watching these mega churches on the. Anybody else see it? They have them at 9, 10:30, and noon. So in other words, you know it's an hour and a half. You get in, you get out. And the Holy Spirit tarries. Oh, sorry, we got to close it down. We got another crew coming in here at 11. I mean, it's unfreaking believable. What we think is church. How did we get in this mindset? Craig, Mr. Zero, come on in.
Well, the church grew out of the synagogue, and Jesus spoke in the synagogue. So the purpose was going to hear the word of God to be taught. So
Craig, let me interrupt there a second. The synagogue was also, folks, it was also the government of the day too, right? So, and you were in essence going to a governmental meeting. Go ahead, Craig.
So, Kevin touched on this. This is Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, okay, so you've been attending for a while, but you need to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That's what Kevin was referencing. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, okay? Yep. So God's word is righteous. So you're unskilled in it. So you're listening to the same thing over and over again. For he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. And that doesn't necessarily mean your physical age, your spiritual maturity.
That's right.
That is those who by reason, okay, because you can reason through the scriptures that you've learned of have used and have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're supposed to be learning that, aren't we? We don't learn that. We don't learn any of that stuff.
Assembling is good to be taught, okay? And what good is being taught if you don't go out and use it? And then if you're taught, then you are to bring up someone else. You're supposed to disciple someone else.
That's how the church grows. Now, if you do it through a building, that's fine. If you do it through your home, that's fine.
That's the coaching tree. That's the coaching tree I was talking about the other day. All right, Craig? There's a coaching tree.
Right. So what we have today is we have helicopter pastors. They hover over certain aspects of God and neglect the other aspects and nature of God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Because if I were to sit down, for instance, I love Mark Trump. If Mark Trump comes to my house and we sit down, he's talking about techno stuff because that's what he's good at. That's his strength. Well, I tell you this, Mark. You started your own church and you only talked about techno stuff. It wouldn't last very long because people would want to move on. But we see pastors love to talk about what they know, what they feel comfortable teaching.
But that's the fulfillment of the scripture, Coach, because now they have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. See, yes. We have to discern good and evil in the world that we live in. Our world is different than the world 100 years ago. But the word is consistent through the ages.
And the devil's kids are smarter than us. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, could it be, Coach, as simple as
amen.
People like to be told what to do?
Yeah, yes, they do, because it takes away some responsibility from them.
What to believe, how to wear a mask, why you need a crop shot.
Yep.
Do we need to be told? There's no common sense.
No, but so we follow Pope Fauci, right? Pope Fauci, he's the one that's in charge. We follow his religious edicts, religious orders, for sure. Jeff, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Anyway, hey, sorry about your luck, guys. We have Ask Your Pastor every Sunday, and this past weekend he spoke on sexual immorality because of what's going on in Canada. I feel your pain. I didn't go to church for a long time because it just got too frustrating. But what we need to look at is how to do it right. And because there's an unlimited number of ways to do it wrong.
Yep.
And we found one. And the value is go on there and seeing that you're not the only, just like you have your cheerleader, you find like-minded people following the Lord. And they can look at the events of the day. And while the world celebrates the Intel factory, we can see all the evil that's going on, all the conspiracy and stuff.
Hey, Jeff, people at the right. Jeff, that ain't being taught in every church, dude. Sorry.
It's not taught in every church today. It's very, very few. It's very few. They're all a bunch of lost people.
Right. That's right. It's blind leading the blind, for sure.
Yeah, but we talked about that at church this weekend. So.
Well, good. Good. Ask a pastor. I like to do that for sure. Go ahead, Dale.
There you go. Well, Coach, and in that light, the reason why I never got to my sermon yesterday, it was 2.5 hours. And, brother, the body was ministering to the body. This is the book of Acts, or action in action. Brother, it's kind of like when you teach your children or your grandchildren how to play baseball. You can tell them all how it is, but until they get up there and swing that bat for themselves, and guess what? They're going to swing it at first awkwardly. And so the fact of the matter is if we do not allow people to go out there and to exercise their giftings, and guess what? Sometimes they're going to make mistakes. Guess what you do? You rise them up, you pick them up, you brush them off, and you put them back in the game. And brother, that is we love the beginning of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit falling upon the church. But brother, we don't want to enact those things. That is the shell and how church should be. They gathered together, they gave, they talked, they sang songs, they gave unto the apostles, not the apostle, not the pastor, but they gave unto the teachings of those who knew more than them, and then they cross-pollinated those giftings, brother. Those churches are hard and few between.
Dale, come on, Dale, I've never, ever in my whole life asked to do anything at church. Was anybody ever, other than being usher, park people in a car, park cars maybe? Anybody ever asked to do anything spiritually? Anybody at your church ever been trained to do something spiritual other than you? Is there the church where you go? Could the pastor not be there for 2 weeks and still continue on?
Yeah,
I would say no. Well, I would say most churches no. Like, why?
I agree with you, Coach. Most churches, that's absolutely the case.
I was watching something on Nick Saban. J.R. Harrison, I think it was, sent out a video of Nick Saban. Listen, this is going to sound really arrogant. Nick Saban was a football coach in Alabama. He was doing a presentation, making probably $500,000 to talk to these people about whatever, coaching these people in corporate America. And I'm sitting there, J.R., and he didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. He didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. Why? Because I know how to coach. Now, he followed a different path. He's coached at the University of Alabama. God bless him. What he said was all good. All good, good stuff, right? And I'm thinking, I could have been Nick Saban. I could have been Nick Saban. You know why I wasn't Nick Saban? Because I wasn't mentored by somebody who put that vision in me to be Nick Saban. And I sit here today, I don't want to be Franklin Graham. Please, God bless Franklin Graham. I don't ever want to be Franklin Graham. I would never, ever, no, thank you, no, no. And so does your pastor, does your church environment create in you a vision for your work in the ministry? Is one ever created? And I'm going to tell you, the answer to that would be 95% of the time, no. The individual Christian cannot find their ministry in the local church because it's dominated by, what is that called? Cognitive bias and 6-foot icicle. And so men sit in the church and die. Spiritually, they die because they don't have any idea what they're supposed to do. It grieves me. I wouldn't last 10 minutes as a football coach doing that. Bringing a group of guys in there and sitting down and lecturing to them for 45 minutes and say, see you tomorrow, boys. See you next week. Go out and live your life. I'll see you next week. Come in next week. I'll teach you something else. See you next week. No, no. Are they ever taking him, training him, and equipping him, and showing them how to do it? Whatever that might be. The answer is no, they don't. They don't. And why? Because they're not taking the older guys in the church and training them up to train the younger guys. The older women to train the younger women. The pastor does everything. Or hang on, are you sitting down? The pastor's wife. Oh, I love that one. I love that one. Pastor Timmy and Sarah. Where's Pastor Sarah? Hey, she ain't my pastor. You may want to call her pastor. She ain't my pastor. Oh, maybe Pastor Timmy. Okay, I'll live with Pastor Timmy. But don't give me Pastor Sheila. Sorry. Are you with me? Am I sounding sexist today? Because I'm asking the question, what's the purpose of church? And most of us, oh man, that ought to be some homework. I ought to make you write that down and we'll discuss it tomorrow because I'm going to tell you this. The purpose of church is what? And until we know what that purpose of church is, we ain't going to have a common bond. We're not going to have one, right? Not going to. Let's see here. Bernie. Let me get Bernie. Some of you are second timers. Let me get Bernie in here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're a second timer too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I am. I was just going to say, are you joining an organization or a fellowship? Because
I don't know if it's both. It's probably both. Why do I have to join something? Did you guys have to join to come in here? Did you say I joined Coach Dave's Huddle, or you just tune in every morning? So I don't know. Are you guys now joined? Are we now members? Is that what we are? I don't know. And that's a good point.
Well, we're part of the group. Another thing, sometimes come through something. D.L. Moody used to preach, and he used to, when he wanted to get people to make a decision, he would invite them to go to an inquiry room where he would really challenge them and to count the cost of what they would have to face if they want to make a decision to follow Christ. But then something happened. The Chicago fire. He was preaching during that fire, and there's a lot of people that died before he saw they could make it. And he said, he gave that up, and he started just really challenging people to make a decision by the end of the service. And that kind of got passed on to a lot of other people, where they started pressing people at the altar call at the end of the service. Now, some of that stuff, but that's one place where, I mean, sometimes something changes in somebody's life and we forget where the where the root of that thing comes from, that conviction. He passed it on to a lot of other people.
So it becomes a tradition of men, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something here. I don't want this to sound. I'm not trying to give out any confidences or anything, but should I say it, Lord? Yeah. So some of you out there maybe don't have jobs or looking for jobs or whatever. And I was talking to a couple guys and I said this, why don't you just go into the manager and tell the manager, I won't steal for you and I won't steal from you. I'll come every day. I'll work as hard as I can. I won't lie to you. I won't be mean to customers. I'll flip hamburgers if you want me to flip hamburgers. I'll clean toilets if you want me to clean toilets. Whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'll do. Do we teach that type of mentality to Christians? We don't teach that kind of mentality to Christians, right? And I look at across America, there are more job openings than you could ever, ever want. And rather than us worrying about what our credentials are, just go knock on the door and say, dude, listen, I need a job and I won't steal from you and I won't steal for you. And I'll work as hard as I can and I'll be here every day and I won't call in sick and I'll just be here every day. And you're going to be vice president of operations someday if you just follow through on those basic things. And we don't teach those kind of things anymore. That should be the bedrock of what the type of thing the church is teaching us. Be a man of your word. Stand up and do what's right. Train others. Create followers. Not followers, but disciples. Get little coaches behind you. People that you've taught. Train them to do that. Start with your family. Make that happen. We don't do it. Hmm. And we don't do it.
And amen, Coach.
It's gotten worse. Thank you, Mark. It's gotten worse in the information age. I say, well, I'll just send them here. I'll email them my resume. Oh, well, you and 40 other guys. Hey, Mr. Joe, listen, I need a job so bad. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Wherever you plug me in, I'd be more than happy to come. I'll come every day. I promise you that I will. And I won't steal from you. I won't steal for you. And I won't call off sick. I need a job. Boom, you're hired. I'm telling you. But we don't teach that, right?
Amen.
We teach process. Boy. Go ahead, Mark. You popped in there.
Well, I'm just, Coach, we have the ability to encourage people so that they can go do exactly what you're saying. Right. I've helped a lot of people who have been jobless in the queue. I've met them at your events. I've met them. They've called me. And I give them confidence. I speak truth into them that they're a man of Christ. They can do. And then they go do.
Amen.
We don't disciple. All right. You ask what the church isn't doing, discipleship.
Amen.
Coach, you have enabled each of us in different ways to execute our gifts. I wanted to go back to that. You have taught us how to execute our gifts. The pastor in the pews, they go up there and teach, and they're not doing anything individual like Jesus did for us. Jesus was very individual. You are so on target today, Coach. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Because of what? What's what I wrote down? What is the purpose of the church? So you can think about that the rest of the day. Matt Tice, you've been trying to get in a while. Come on in, Matt. Everybody else has been in. So go ahead, Matt.
Your point's well taken today, Dave. I was really tickled to hear that you spent some time listening to three messages. It's really interesting. I used to listen to about 10 a day, and it is so screwed up, it isn't funny. It's
unbelievable, Paul.
It is. You know, I ran into a guy just the other day who got to talking about religion and that, and he said, if I'm going down the road, and I want to tell this real quick. If I'm going down the road, he said, and I looked down to pick up something off the floor, and I hit somebody. It's really a bad accident, and I hit somebody, and I say, oh, shit. He said, am I going to go to hell? I said, I don't think so. I said, if you got a good relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't think you have to worry about that. Well, he says, one sin's just as bad as another. And I said, so killing somebody is just as more offensive to God as what saying, oh, shit, come on, man. I said, you know, that's the confusion that we have.
Yep,
it's really difficult to get people to understand what in the world is going on and what we're supposed to be concerned about. You're absolutely right, Dave. The spirit of the law is where we need to be. We need to teach that spirit. And, so, yeah, glad to hear you had some extra time with some sermons. Yeah. They're interesting to listen to, I tell you. God bless you. Have a great day.
It was discouraging, Matt. It was discouraging to hear what's coming from some of those pulpits. So I'm going to leave you with this thought today. Hey, Bridie on, don't forget that. Bridie on, 11 o'clock. Dr. Paul and I'll be on there. What is the purpose of the church? We'll see you tomorrow.
And we're clear.